Hello, this is Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. Today I will be concluding our series about God's glorious kingdom arising in the earth. If you've been following this series, you may have noticed how I've been using the title God's Glorious Kingdom interchangeably with God's Glorious Church. Now, this is not to confuse you, so let me explain. According to Bible scripture, God's kingdom rules over all, and that's Psalm 103:19. It also said in Psalm 47:2, the Lord is a great king over all. So when I'm talking about the kingdom, it's referring to God's rule and dominion over all creation under heaven. The church is part of God's kingdom, but it is not the entire kingdom. Now, a lot of people who are Christians don't understand this. God's kingdom includes every portion of the earth. That's why Jesus told us to go into all the sectors of the world to preach the gospel message. So when we speak of the church or about God's glorious church, it's referring to a body of believers. Now, they are called the body of Christ or the elect. These are our officials of God's kingdom who have been called out of every sector of the world to represent Almighty God. In many ways, they are like our elected government officials in the world, except people don't elect them. God calls them. God calls them out of the darkness of the world into his marvelous light for one purpose, that's to show forth his praises in the earth. Now, the Apostle Paul refers to the body of Christ as ambassadors for Christ, and it's in 2 Corinthians 5:20. So when I speak of church, and in particular, the glorious church, I'm referring to the elect, those who have chosen to be ambassadors for the cause of Christ. These are those who are subjects under Christ and his anointing. Now, we know that Jesus gave his life for all of mankind, but his ultimate goal was to give his life for the church, for his elected officials, that he might sanctify them, cleanse them with the washing of the water of the word, so that he might present it to himself a glorious body, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Not everybody who's in the body of Christ are destined for the glorious church. Years ago, I was in a church where a pastor was teaching on the glorious church, and he started talking about how Jesus would come back and the people would automatically be transformed to this glorious church without blemish or spot. This particular pastor was convinced that there was nothing we needed to do on our part but get saved, and God would do the rest. I was puzzled, and so while sitting there, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, clarify this for me. Something about this doesn't feel right. And the Spirit of the Lord responded, and he said, anyone can be saved, but I'm coming back for a glorious church. That was the first time that I heard the Lord make a distinction between those who go to church, those who are saved, and those in his glorious church. And even as I'm speaking to you, I'm reminded of when God gave me my commission to the body of Christ. He took me to this place where he says, let me show you my church. And it was a church without walls, and it was like a huge cathedral. It was like a spiritual cathedral. It had no walls, but it was huge. And he showed me his people that he called his leaders. And when I saw this huge church, and I saw only maybe two or three roles in this church were filled, and he says, these are my leaders. And it was amazing to me. I'm thinking, as huge as this place is, why only I see 200 or 300 people here that the Lord is saying these are his leaders? But these were his leaders of the glorious church. These were people who were totally sold out to God, sold out to the kingdom, sold out to whatever the Lord wanted them to do in the earth. And they were not all preachers. They were businessmen. They were homemakers. They were people of various places in the earth. And they were kingdom-minded people. So it didn't matter if they were behind a pulpit. They had a specific thing that they were doing in the earth. And I just, for whatever reason, that just came up in my spirit. I wanted to share that with you. Because we understand when we get saved, we're sanctified. And we're set aside for God's use. However, this is just the first step. We have to make the decision to take it further by sanctifying ourselves for service in the kingdom, which is different. There's a higher level of commitment and sanctification required when we decide we're going to go out and we're going to represent the Lord as an ambassador. So I wanted to make sure that people understood the difference between the church, the kingdom, and the glorious church. Now, there's some people who get saved and they're happy just sitting and being what I call a bench-warming Christian. They don't do much. They have their ticket to heaven and they're happy. You know, everybody comes to Christ for a different purpose. And the Lord shared that with me years ago. He said that some people want to just get by while others want to be made whole. So for those who want to be made whole, you will find them as being part of this glorious church because they want everything that Jesus Christ lived, died, and resurrected to give them. And I consider myself one of those as well. I want to clarify that before getting into this episode because we're going to be talking about manifesting the light of God's glory in our everyday lives. This is what I saw when he showed me his church. These were people living normal lives, whether they were businessmen, lawyers, housekeepers, coaches, teachers, they all were living life as a representative of God's kingdom. Now, this is how God's kingdom is going to arise in the earth. As more people are committed to the covenant that Jesus made with his Father, people will start to see a difference between God's covenant people and the people of the world. When people confess that Jesus is their Lord, they have to mean it. And in this glorious church, these are people who really meant it. They confess Jesus. They walk in Jesus. He is the master of their lives. He sits on the throne of their hearts, directing their every steps in his word. We're not talking church. We're talking kingdom. God is the eternal king. Jesus is the king appointed, and he's the head of the church. Now, some Christians want Jesus to be savior, but they don't want him to be Lord and king over their lives. But know this also, that all who come to Jesus Christ are given the authority to walk as sons of God and as kings and priests in this world. We have the full authority, but not everybody will walk in that authority because to walk in that authority takes faith and discipline to follow Jesus and follow his spirit. And that's why the Bible tells us that those who are led by the spirit, they are the sons of God. And that's Romans 8:14. And I want to make that distinction because what I saw in what the Lord called his church, I saw sons of God. They looked like God. They operated like God, even to the point that I thought that they were supernatural beings, which they were. They were totally committed. Their spirit was leading them as God was leading them. And so it's a little bit different than, you know, people going to church on Sundays and praying and doing what they normally do as a religious routine. But these people were walking in the kingdom every day of their lives. And I just wanted to make that clear distinction that that's why the light of God is shining so bright in them. In a previous episode, we said our light has come. The glory of the Lord is among us. The glory is in us. But there comes a time when God moves upon his people and the glory comes up on us for his service. People talk about the anointing of God. That is the Spirit of God through the Holy Spirit that's in us. He moves on us. But there's also that glory that's in there that is the hope that God has, the destiny that God has for each of our lives. So what happens in seasons and times of seasons like we're in right now, the glory of God will move as we're obedient. It will come from the inside of us and manifest on the outside. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, manifesting the light that's in us. I remember one day I was watching this broadcast and they were singing a worship song and they were saying, Lord, show me your glory. And I'm singing along with the words with the people, the worship team is singing. And the Holy Spirit says to me, what are you doing? And I told him, I'm singing for you to show me your glory. And he responded, I think it was pour out your spirit. I said, pour out your spirit. Pour out your Holy Spirit was a song they were singing. And I said, I'm praying, pour out your spirit. He said, I've already done that. And then they were singing about, show me your glory. He says, my glory is the wealth that's out here for my people. I'm already doing that. And when he said that, as beautiful as that song was, I couldn't sing it anymore because it was scripturally out of context with what the Lord was doing in the earth. So I shut up and just began thanking him for his glory. And thanking him for his anointing that was in our lives. The light of God is his glory. It's his word, but it's the glory is in the word that manifests in our lives. Revelation knowledge that we get from the Lord is the light of his glory. And remember, we said God is light. God and his word are the same. So he reveals to us himself through prayer, through reading the word, through hearing a message, even a message like this. But once we receive the light of that word, we have a job to do. God's will in the earth cannot be done without our cooperation. So God's light is revealed to our spirits so that we can release it into the world and manifest what God wants in the earth. That is what I do every time I write a book or another magazine issue, or release another blog post, or even a podcast episode. I'm releasing the light of God, His glory, up on the earth. This is why it's important to listen to God, be led by His Spirit, because everything He leads you to do is for His glory, and His glory will manifest in that thing if we obey His Spirit. The first time I saw this was when I wrote my first book, The War Journal, Volume 1. The revelation came from God first, but it took years of prayer and studying the Word to understand what God had given me. And sometimes I couldn't write because the glory would just fill the room every time the Lord spoke. 500 pages later, the Word manifested on the written page. Even when I did my first edit, the weight of the glory of the Lord hit me so hard that I passed out on the floor. Then I remember when the Lord told me to publish the book. You know, I was going to go to a big publisher and do a hardback cover and all. And the Lord said, no, publish it as an ebook. And there was a lot of warfare around this book. There were a lot of people who wanted to take my life and keep me from doing the book. So the Lord had me go ebook route. And when I obeyed, the Lord gave me a vision and spirit of what I had done. It was like I had taken my book and done a football pass with it and threw it straight up into the heavens. It went clear past the earth and the planets. And then it kind of exploded like a big fireworks display coming back down upon the earth. That was what the Lord showed His Word was doing at that time. It reminds me of that passage in Ephesians chapter 3. And this is the passage that He also spoke to me when He had me start my companies. Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 7. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, what I saw when I took that book and threw it in the heavens, the principalities, the powers, were seeing that word go forth. It was like I was announcing it to the world when I was throwing it out there in that past. It was in the heavens. So the information was being, the wisdom of God was being released throughout the heavenly beings and through the heavenly regions of the earth. And I thought that was phenomenal because this is God's eternal purpose. When we obey Him, we're setting out satellites. We're putting out things in the atmosphere that will inform the principalities and powers, the King of the kingdom, whom it is that we serve, and how God's kingdom rules over all. From this passage, God gave me the name of my company, as I said, Epic Ventures, but it stands for Eternal Purpose and Christ Ventures. So, beloved, we are the light of the world, because we carry that light within us. Our spirits are the candle of the Lord, but are we lit? And if so, how bright are we shining? There's more than just doing good deeds and looking good. The devil's kids do that. In fact, I know people who left the Church of Jesus Christ to follow after witchcraft simply because witches were kind to them and they were doing good works. This ought not be. But unfortunately, this is a reality in Christian life in America because of the bitter religious Christians who go by the book but not by the Spirit. The love of God is not manifesting in them because of disappointment, because of prayers not being answered, who knows what. But if that's you, if the light in you is darkness, it's time to repent. The world is watching you, and a bitter Christian is not a very good ambassador for Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus said that the world would know us by our love for one another. That's John 13:35. So where is that love? Where is that love that Jesus said, well, there was no greater love than to lay down your life for a friend? This world is a very dark place. Gross darkness is upon the people. However, our light has come. The revelation of God's will for this earth has been given to His people. So where is that light? What is that light? The light is the voice of the Lord. It's His Holy Spirit that speaks the words that produce light in the darkness. This is the light that is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, as Psalm 119:105 says. But how do we tap into this light? Again, Psalm 119:9 says, by cleansing our hearts and minds with the Word. The Lord told me once that His Word was like a minesweeper. You know, those minesweepers that go underground and go under deep waters to find the things that the enemy had, traps that they put down there that would explode and destroy people. He said, but His Word was like a minesweeper, that it would go into the deepest depths of our being to eradicate anything the enemy planted to destroy us. This is how powerful the Word of God can be. This is the light that we need in our world right now. And it comes in the form of a prophetic revelation, a word of God from the Spirit of God that can change any situation, even in an instant. So I ask, are you willing to receive the light of God? Are you willing to be obedient to whatever it requires of you? If so, it's time to be in prayer and in the Word like never before. It's time to fill up your heart with what God says, and putting aside the words that you're hearing about other men, what they're saying, even what the government's saying, the news is saying. Put the words of God in your mouth and meditate on those words and watch them come to pass in your life. That's what God told Joshua before he took the city of Jericho. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That's Joshua 1:8. Beloved, God made you so powerful that whatever you meditate on can come to pass in your life. So I ask you, what are you meditating on? Whose words are you pondering in your heart? Are they words of good or evil? Are they words of light or darkness? Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. You'll find out that what you have in your life are the results of the words you've been speaking and meditating on. So if you want a better life, if you want a better situations in your life, change your words. And if you want what God has for your life, speak the word only. And don't let anything else come out of your mouth. God's glory is arising upon His people, and the devil cannot stop it. That devil could not stop Jesus from being born in this world. He could not stop Jesus when He was crucified and arose from the dead. He could not stop it when the Holy Ghost was shed abroad in the hearts of God's people, because this is the light of God's glory. The enemy cannot touch it because it is God. Those who have received Jesus Christ have this light residing in their hearts. But when we decide to go after God's destiny with our whole heart, our light becomes a shining beacon to the world. It also becomes a consuming fire, burning up everything in us and around us that is not of God. Beloved, I don't care what it looks like in the world. The word of the Lord, what the Spirit of God is saying, is that the best is yet to come. He says this is His grand finale. He says that we win. If God talks like that, who am I to doubt and speak against it? Sure, the world is speaking doom and gloom because they have no light in them. But as the scripture says, if they don't speak according to the word of God, it's because there is no light in them. So don't follow them. The darkness is here and it's striving against the light. But it also serves a purpose. It is setting the stage for something much brighter to come. It's called the light of God manifesting in His people. Don't worry about how dark it gets, because God does some of His best work under the cover of darkness. He will provide the illumination for His people. As the Bible says, the revelation of God's word gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple. Psalm 119:130. And here's one final word of encouragement. During prayer one day in the realm of the Spirit, I saw the Lord flip a huge light switch, and immediately His people were transformed. It was as if the light of God was turned on inside of them, and God's people knew what to do. They knew what to say. They knew how to respond to these evil days in which we live. That's the power of God's voice. It is a light, a great light, in the darkness of this world. As the Word of God says, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek His way and follow it. Then all things will follow you. This has been Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. Until next time.